You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center in Tallahassee, Florida. We are a Jesus-centered community of Scripture, faith, and grace located on the campus of Florida State University.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to give us a revelation of what we can hope for. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on April 9th, two men passed away. A little bit more than a week ago, two men passed away that suddenly gathered the attention of our culture. Those two men that passed away were very different in so many different ways, but had this in common: the day of their death. The two men were Prince Philip, the royal consort of the Queen, and DMX, the rapper from the 1990s. And with both of these men dying on the same day, it caused a lot of people to start to kind of put them together. In fact, some people even got called out for putting these people together in a way that others thought was inappropriate to bring the two men together because they were so different. I mean, Prince Philip was almost 50 years older than DMX. DMX was 50 when he died. Prince Philip was 99 when he died. And yet, they both died of approximately the same thing. They both died of heart issues. And they grew up in radically different places. Prince Philip grew up as a royal, and he lived in Denmark, and he was a royal in the Greek families as well as the Danish families. And DMX grew up in the projects in New York. They were similar and different, and they died on the same day, along with countless others who also died on April 9th. And their stories being put together kind of brings together our stories, a story that we know that we're going to die on the same day that other people are going to die. And we know that there's going to be, well, something different about us as well. There are going to be different things that are said of us, just as there were different things said of DMX and different things that were said of Prince Philip. And it brings to mind sort of the question in our lives: who do we want to be when we die? What do we want people to be saying about us? What do we want to be on our tombstones? What do we want to be in our obituaries? What do we want people to say about us on social media, if anything? But it brings to mind that question of, well, who is it that we want to be on that day when our lives end? Whether that day is when we are 50 or whether that day is when we are 99, things will be said of us. We know that. And so we start to think about what kind of lives we want to live on this side of that equation that will enable people to regard us perhaps in the most positive way possible. Because there's many things that we want to be remembered for. There's also many things that we probably want people not to remember. Things that we want people to just kind of forget when it comes to who we are. And so it brings to mind a question of how we live our lives and who we are becoming as we live those lives. There's an interesting corollary question. The corollary question is, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? We ask that to kids, and we ask that to even college students sometimes. Well, you know, what do you want to do with that degree that you're getting? What do you want to do with that? And it's interesting that the difference between those two questions are that one of them asks the question, what? And the other one asks the question, who? That there is something about the end of our lives that brings into our mind this sense that that is the summation of our identity. Because we can do several different what's in our lives. We can have several different careers. We can do several different things. But at the end of our lives, there is only one singular person whom we can be. And so it calls to mind who that one person is that we want to be. How do we want to be remembered? And who is it that we want to be when we die? Well, for the Christian, the answer to that question is, well, somewhat of a non-answer in some ways. Because for the Christian, the answer to that question is, who do I want to be when I die? Well, who I want to be when I die is simply in Christ. Who I want to be when I die is I want to be a Christian. I want to be one who has faith that my sins will be washed away by Jesus and that I will raise again to new life. A life that corresponds with that identity that died on that day that I died, but was restored on the day when I was raised again. And that brings to mind how that happens and what our hope even is, that our hope is a hope that embraces both the DMXs of our world and the Prince Philips of our world. It unites all of the people who died on April 9th, and it unites all of the people who died ever in one singular hope. That one singular hope that one day we will rise and be like Christ. That we have that in our story, that can be who we are forever. That what we see is possible is that like Jesus, we can have a body that has flesh and bones. Like Jesus, we can have a body that is able to eat things. Like Jesus, we can have a body also, though, that is fitted for eternity. A body that will not suffer heart disease like DMX and Prince Philip did. A body that will not suffer the problems of living in a sinful world, and a body that will not even contribute to those things in terms of its own sinning. That is the hope that has been revealed to us. That hope is the hope of all of biblical history. That is the hope that is pointed to by the law of Moses, by the prophets, and by the Psalms. That hope is the hope that we have at the center of our lives. That we may die, but we shall rise. And that revealed hope changes the way in which we live even today. That it gives us a courage, a calm, a peace. That our lives are not simply just the summation of the stories that we've lived out. That not even the summation of the stories of famous people like DMX and Prince Philip, that those are not the summation of their lives, but rather that we have a hope that points us beyond our own lives and their own lives to an eternity in which we can live. And so it gives us a freedom. It gives us a sense of knowing that whatever happens in this age, that that will be righted by Christ, that whatever happens in this age, that that can be forgiven, whatever happens in this age, that that doesn't have to be the entirety of our story, but rather that who we are when we die is not the last word. But rather that the last word in our lives is the word of forgiveness. That word that is revealed to us by Christ himself, that is revealed to his disciples as he tells them to go out and to give the world that hope. A hope that this life will be forgiven. This life will be joined with Christ. This life will be one in which we can take risks now because we know that he has it all handled for us and that he will reconcile all things on that day when he comes again. That revelation is a great hope. And a hope that moves us forward as we make the decisions in our lives that affect who we are on the day that we die. Knowing that that's not all of who we are meant to be. But that Jesus finally makes us all that we can be. And raises us from our death to continue our story. So may you this week go out with that calm, that peace, and that courage, knowing that your story may end at your death, but it doesn't really. Amen.